Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. Don't just listen, say something. Call 781-837-4900. And now, more Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Thank you. Welcome back to Monday Night Talk, your Election Eve Monday Night Talk. And as I teased before going into traffic, joining us is the Plymouth County District Attorney, Tim Cruz, who, you know, he's very involved when it comes to what's going on, not only in his office, but here in the county. And if he isn't coming on this program, you hear him on other programs. You hear him doing stuff with the news, keeping us up to date as to what's going on with cases and new laws and stuff like that. I thought it was instrumental to have you in, Tim. And Tim, welcome back to Monday Night Talk.
Thanks, Kevin. Joe, nice to see you.
Yeah, good to see you.
And I might add is the other thing is that I'm a big fan of the DA because I hear he's a fantastic skater and is a champion in his own right when it comes to, are you still with the South Coast League or somewhat another league?
You know what, I'm in the South Coast League, but I actually just had knee surgery a month ago, so I've been on the DL for the last few months. But hopefully I'll be up and ready in January. That's my goal.
I hear you got some wheels.
Well, I used to have some wheels. They're a lot slower now.
So, but I just want to kind of throw that out there because I know that you are somebody who likes to play hockey. And,
yeah, it's fun.
Are you good? Are you as good as I hear you are?
No, absolutely not. I'm just another old guy out there having fun with a bunch of really good guys. It's good to get your mind off. I think a lot of the pressures and stresses that you have, it's just a lot of fun on Sunday nights. I really enjoy it, and I appreciate the opportunity to try to do that with those guys.
And those who don't know, if you actually pay attention to local cable, I want to say Mark Ducharme, a former alum of the Enterprise, he's one of the voices of South Coast Hockey. A very well-done program.
Yeah, they do a great job.
That folks can view in and around the South Shore, that I know that there are access centers that air that. So.
Yeah, Rick Kelly and the guys do a tremendous job down there, and it's a lot of fun.
They absolutely do. But that isn't the reason why we had you in. I wanted to give you kind of an opportunity to talk a little bit about, we got four ballot questions, and it's debatable as to what of the four of them, that there are two of them that I think are generating a lot of conversation. Question two, which is about the charter schools,
right.
And question four, whether we should legalize and tax marijuana, recreational marijuana. Now, I remember, I'm not sure if it was here or if it was at another radio station. I want to say back a couple of years ago, maybe a number of years ago, when I would have conversations, I want to say that there was a forum when they were talking about when we passed the law to decriminalize, you know, the amount of marijuana that you have. And one of the things that you had said during that time, before it hit its passage, was this is just going to lead down the road to trying to legalize marijuana altogether.
Right. Yeah, they baby step. They're the pro marijuana people are very good at it. They decrimmed it in 2008. There was medicinal in 2012, and this was the next step. And I think, you know, when I go out and talk about, you know, question four, you know, really, I mean, people talk about the quote-unquote legalization of marijuana, but really what this is the commercialization of marijuana.
Right.
And whether or not you agree with, you want marijuana, you don't want marijuana, people have differing opinions. I think what I've been trying to stress to the voters is the fact that, you know, this is a petition that was put together by outside agencies, by candy companies and the whatnot, that have put and funneled a lot of money into Massachusetts in order for them to make money. And the biggest thing of all in this commercialization is really what they're trying to do as pertains to put this in the back of our kids. And that's what the edibles do. It's a whole new form, you know, of Swedish fish, gummy bears, brownies, chocolate milk. They're targeting our kids at a time when we in Massachusetts, I think, should let our legislators make the determination. We should be constituents. We should talk to our legislators. Mm. Let them go on Beacon Hill and let them make a law one way or the other that fits Massachusetts. This is not one-stop shopping like all the other states that are actually going right now.
Yeah, which that's actually, I think, the way Vermont is going to end up handling that is by letting the legislator, you know, determine when that happens. I don't think there's a ballot they plan on doing a ballot question.
No, Massachusetts is one of, what, five states that it's going to be on the ballot tomorrow?
Yeah. It is. And so it's out in Nevada. It's, you know, various other places. It's already been, quote-unquote, legalized in Washington and Colorado. And I think that we need to look at those states where it's been and see how unsuccessful, quite honestly, it's been. I was in Colorado 6 months after it was initially legalized. And I remember talking to the Denver district attorney and talking to a lot of law enforcement out there, and the immediate problems that they had that people don't think of that are right there in your face. And this petition in Massachusetts has a lot of bad things for our people.
Now, one of the things I've heard, you know, and you talk about the commercialization of it, which I think is a great way to put it, because one of the things I've heard is that there are companies and organizations that are shovel-ready with hundreds and thousands of square feet of grow operations in this state when we get ready to legalize, in theory, marijuana, which doesn't sound to me like it's something that's recreational at that point.
It's a business, you know. I mean, that's really what this is, and so you know, let's get into the details as
please
to
do.
You know, what's going on with the edibles. And the edibles, first and foremost, are a really big problem. You know, whether or not you're dealing with the high potency in the edibles, first and foremost, you can't tell if I held in front of you a Tootsie Pop and another pop. One was red, one was orange, and I asked you which one has THC in and which one doesn't.
You wouldn't know.
You can't tell, and if you can't tell and I can't tell,
how does
a 6-year-old kid walking through the kitchen that sees a lollipop sitting on this table walking in there? Since, you know, the legalization of marijuana in Colorado, I've had a number of kids who had ingested marijuana edibles. They end up at the emergency room. Prior to this occurring in Colorado, that never happened. Kids were not overindulging themselves. I think that, you know, when we look at these issues right now, especially as pertains to the home grows, which is another avenue of this, which the Massachusetts petition will allow you to have 12 plants in your home. That means anybody can grow 12 plants in their home. It will not be regulated. It will not be taxed. There will be no potency that's out there because they can grow whatever they want. They got to, quote unquote, grow it inside their home. Each plant is going to be worth roughly $5,000. So 5 times 12 is 60. So if you believe, like when I go debate the pro-marijuana people, these people are going to voluntarily come forth and pay taxes. It's not happening in Colorado. And you know, and the other thing out there is that the black market is thriving in Colorado. You know,
I was going to ask you about that. What happens to the so-called, you know, underground or the drug traffickers? I mean, everyone, it doesn't just come to the surface.
Because I want to say that was one of the reasons is to take it out of the hands of the criminals.
That's what you hear anyway.
That's the...
Yeah, and the other spin of it
is that actually happening?
Is that there's a lot of people that's doing time for straight possession of marijuana. Absolute fabrication. I ask, when people say that to me, or we have people doing time for possession of marijuana, first of all, it was decrimmed in 2008.
Right.
My question is always the same. Name me that person. Name me one person who is doing time for possessing marijuana. Doesn't happen. You know, we certainly haven't had it. We've had people that are traffickers in marijuana, who are people who are distributing and possessing with the intent to distribute, but it's just not happening. And so they're trying to say there's all these people doing time in jail as a result of this, and this quote-unquote victimless crime that's going on. But the real issue is that, once again, back to those home grows, if you grow, what happened in Colorado, once it was passed, within the first 6 months or so, there was roughly 12 fatal armed home invasions, because the bad guys know who's growing the weed, because you can't sell it on the street. You can sell it out of your house, though. And they also know, because it's still a federal crime, you can't use the banking system, you can't use credit cards, therefore it's an all-cash business. So you have people coming to your home, kicking in your doors, hurting your family, taking your marijuana, and taking your cash.
Well, and it's not just, and I've watched a couple specials on Colorado, and it's not just the home growers, but that's a huge problem. But what about the businesses in town centers and communities that end up opening, where you're dealing with hundreds of thousands of dollars of straight cash that end up having higher police presence, you know, added security, all of that, because they can't use the federally regulated banking systems.
It's a huge issue. And getting back to the black market stuff, out in Colorado, they have a black market, obviously, on the border states. Colorado is a pretty big state.
Yeah.
You know, here in Massachusetts, we're bordered by New Hampshire, Rhode Island, Connecticut, Vermont, you know, New York. You could drive anywhere in 2 hours. So we have that border right there. So people will very well be coming into Massachusetts, buying the marijuana, and then bringing it elsewhere and distributing it elsewhere. So there's going to be ways for people to try to evade the laws, evade the quote-unquote taxes, which is another issue. The taxes that's going to be generated from this is roughly going to be 12% if you include the 2% local tax, which is thrown on top. Out in Colorado, it's approximately 25%. In Washington, it's 37%. And it's still not enough money to deal with the front end of the problems as well as the back end of the problems, where you're trying to get people who are using marijuana and subsequently going to the next step.
I have to ask, you know, what happens if tomorrow night at 9 p.m. we learn that this ballot question passes? Is that it? Is it all said and done? Or is there other dominoes to fall? Does there have to be some kind of a committee set up to regulate this? And is there a conversation as to, can just any business go anywhere? Is it like with the medical marijuana where it had to be something that where it can X amount can be done in X amount of, you know, as it was with the medical marijuana?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. See, another problem with this petition, the way that it was written, like I said, the pro-marijuana people are smart. They've done this in other states. So what this is you have to opt out. In other words, if this passes tomorrow night, effectively, I think it's January, the first week of January or so, at that point, what's going to happen is it's now going to be quote-unquote legal to have marijuana pursuant to the way it's written right there. But the problem still remains is that, you know, individuals are going to be in a position where they're going to be out there with this marijuana. There's going to be a cannabis control commission, which is going to be set up, which is not going to affect, though, until September. It's going to be run by the treasurer. She's going to pick three people, and then those three people will pick 15 people who are going to be on this commission. But nine of the slots are from the marijuana people. So right there, it's going to be really, they're going to do what's in their best interest.
Right.
And what they're going to be doing, what's in their best interest is to make money. Now, I have nothing against anybody that wants to make money.
Capitalism.
You know, that's great. That's the American way. The problem is that they're going to be doing it on the backs of our kids. And when I talk to doctors and I talk to medical personnel about marijuana and where it leads us, and what I've seen here in Plymouth County, since the decrim of marijuana in 2008, every year but one, our fatal opiate overdoses has gone up. When I talk to Dr. Joe Shrian from here in Marshfield, you know, and I talk to him, all the programs he's involved in,
high point,
causal
yeah.
relationship between usage of marijuana. Not everybody that smokes marijuana is going to heroin, but you talk to somebody who is on heroin, virtually all of them started on marijuana.
Yeah, they didn't just pick up heroin one day.
You don't just start one day either in prescription meds or put a needle in your arm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's really dangerous stuff. So, you know, we need to get in front of this and also make sure that, you know, the criminal law issues are not developed. So that's another whole problem that's out there. There is no breathalyzer for marijuana.
Right, somebody who's driving under the influence.
That's right.
Right.
And there's no way to quantify that right now.
But now, I thought, I want to say if we did, I don't know if we did a story, if there was a conversation about that, being able to find out that supposedly those who are pushing for this actually have been working on a way to be able to find out if somebody is that true? Is that something that can be debunked?
Supposedly there are some companies out there that are gonna be trying to do that. But we still fight today over the breathalyzer getting into evidence. I mean, there's no done deals. You know, was the breathalyzer calibrated? Was it maintained? Did the police do what they were supposed to do with it? And right now there's nothing whatsoever to say, like in Massachusetts, 0.08 breath test, you're per se under the influence of intoxicating liquor. There's no numbers with marijuana. If you took a blood test right now and it popped up that you're THC positive, it would say you're THC positive. It's not going to give you the amount that's in your system, and there's no corresponding number to try to do that and change that. And it will take, unfortunately, quite a while. Massachusetts, we sometimes have some police officers are able to come to court and testify regarding, you know, they can detect drugs on people. A lot of judges don't let us use those in evidence. So a lot of these cops will go out, take all the training, they come in, and then whoever the judge is, depends who it is, they may or may not allow that to come in. So you're sitting there with absolutely no evidence. If you pull a car over for weaving, police officer smells marijuana, they ask the individual to take some field sobriety tests, they say, no, thank you, sir. They ask them if they're going to take a breathalyzer, they say, no, thank you, sir. Would they want to submit to a blood test? No, thank you, sir. All the jury's going to hear is that the car was weaving and that he was arrested for OUI drugs. They're not going to hear about the refusals of breath tests. They're not going to hear about the refusal of blood tests. They're not going to hear any of that stuff because that's allegedly a Fifth Amendment privilege that we have here pursuant to our SJC's determination many years ago. So when juries hear this and then they're going to find people not guilty, I think the other problem is you're going to empower people to think, I can do whatever the heck I want. There's nothing they can do.
Now, does the you mentioned earlier, obviously, the 12 plants in the home, which I think is one of the biggest issues with this. What do you see this trickling? I know you said they were able to have the plants inside the home, but do you see this trickling right into the streets once you have a home, say, with 12 plants? And, you know, even though the law may say that they can't go out on the streets and sell it, obviously, do you think that'll happen in situations?
You know, I think that very well may happen, but I think what you're really going to see is you're going to see a car pull up to your next-door neighbor's house. You're going to see a guy walk up to the door. You're going to see a quick transaction for marijuana for money, and that guy's going to go right back to his car, and then he's going to be gone. So you're going to see drug dealers, because that's what they are, selling drugs to individuals showing up there and say, do you want that happening in your neighborhood?
No.
And you know what? You can call your selectman. You can talk to your zoning board. There's nothing they can do. That's the way it was written. So therefore, you know, we have to make sure that there's something that we get in front of us to try to stop it.
Now, a lot of the, you know, one of the arguments I've heard recently is, oh, well, we allow homebrew. So what do you say when they come up with the argument of we allow people to brew beer in their home?
You know, what I talk about is the fact that this is... I have problems with alcohol, too.
Yeah.
But this petition is not about alcohol.
Yeah.
I could talk all night about it. You know, I've been district attorney now for actually it'll be 15 years tomorrow.
Wow.
And I've been a prosecutor for more than 20 years. I've been a criminal trial lawyer for more than 32 years. And I've dealt with some terrible situations. And there's probably nothing's worse than talking to somebody that's lost a loved one, no matter how that may be.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know... What I'm trying to do is stop that in advance.
Mm.
I don't want people to go through terrible situations where they lose loved ones because somebody has chosen to smoke marijuana.
Yeah.
Somebody has chosen to drink alcohol, homebrew, or whatever it may be. You know, I think that we need to focus on what this petition is, where it comes from, the people and the money that's behind it. And they don't care about men. They're not from Massachusetts.
Yeah, well, I guess that was going to be my next question is, you know, you see this happening all around the country, and a lot of these people are admittedly coming in from other places to make these petitions, and as you mentioned, very similar fashions across the country.
And the other thing is, like I said, is that we lose local control. So therefore, you know, if you don't want that to, you don't want it to happen. It's not like you say somebody wanted to put an adult entertainment building next to your building in your residential area. You don't like it. You can go to your selectman. You can go to your zoning board. You can say, I don't think that should happen. In this instance, somebody can grow right next to wherever they want to be. They can start their own marijuana place. They can then start doing it. And there's nothing you can do about it. The way you would get rid of it is you have to petition the state to go back on the ballot in 2018 in a statewide election to get it off. And that was the cute way that that was written. And now we're in a position that we have to make sure that this law, and that's what people need to understand, whether you are for or against marijuana being legalized, this is not the way for Massachusetts to do it.
You're hearing that is Plymouth County District Attorney Tim Cruz. We're talking about the ballot question, one of four. We're talking about question four, and that is the legalization of recreational marijuana. And Jesse Wilkins, one of our valued producers, he is producing Monday Night Talk this evening, and obviously he normally doesn't just walk into the studio unless he has a question that he wants to ask. So what is the question that you want to kind of add to the conversation?
Well, I was going to add to Joe's question about homebrewing and the comparison between the two. I think there's two big differences. For one, alcohol is already legal, and for two, you can't sell homebrew legally without, you know, being FDA approved. So, you know, if it's on the ballot that, you know, you'd be able to grow your own marijuana to a certain extent and sell it, you know, that's a big difference between homebrew.
Yeah, I heard that argument, you know, somebody brought up the homebrew argument the other night, and I said, oh, well, it's interesting, but not that it's any, you know, better or worse. It's just an interesting argument to be brought up in this situation because it is, I think, very different. I personally think it is very different by the fact that you're able to, I think 12 plants is a little bit more than just having a little homebrew.
Colorado only had 6 plants. Colorado allowed 6 plants.
We kind of doubled that.
And so we've double upped it. And now you're talking also about, you know, the advertisement's going to happen also. You know, right now, there's no limits whatsoever. When I would debate, and I've had numerous debates with a nice guy, Jim Borgasani, pro marijuana guy. He's hired by them to go out and try to promote this issue. That's his job. You know, we would have a lot of good debates. And I'd be saying, well, let's look at Colorado. The things have changed. He goes, well, you know, in Colorado now the gummy bears and the Swedish fish are illegal. I said, yeah, that's great. But when you look at our petition, it's not. The devil's in the details. And what's going to happen is that they're going to be unlimited way to advertise it. It's going to just be like Joe Camel with the cigarettes. And they're going to, you know, let's make it friendly.
I was going to say that. It's just tobacco was guilty of that. And we saw the lawsuits because they were trying to sell to children. They were finding ways to attract children with you know, like you said, Joe Camel was a perfect example.
Right. And I think that, you know, people need to understand that there's no limits on the advertising. There's no limits on the potency, whether it be the marijuana itself. Because a lot of people say, you know, I smoked marijuana back in the 70s and 80s.
It was a different brand of marijuana.
It's not your grandparents' marijuana.
No.
Now, this stuff is 17, 18, 20% more strong.
Sure.
And that's the weed itself. Not talking about the edibles, which could be up to 90% more pure. You know, it's real strong stuff. And that's, so you have a kid that may be eating that Swedish fish or that piece of candy sitting on mom and dad's kitchen table. They put it down. They legally purchase it.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, you have some kid overdosing on marijuana. It's a problem.
When we look at what's been going on, you know, the past couple of years in regards to the battle, the opioid addiction, and how it has, you know, it's not only here in the Commonwealth, but across the country, could this, if this passes, be a setback in regards to what we're trying to do when we're talking about addiction?
It's definitely going to be a setback. I mean, you watch our numbers for the opiate right now. You know, in our county alone, you know, in the fatal opiate overdoses, the last 3 years has gone from 75. It's gone to in the small hundreds. And then last year was 145. And right now, as I sit here, it's roughly 110 or so in our Plymouth County. And that's not even the true read, because that's not counting the stuff at the hospital.
Right.
These are just the stuff that my troopers that work for me respond to. So those numbers continue to go up. And when you go around, and we were a sponsor of Drug Story Theater, which we did with Dr. Sharan,
sure.
And you talk to the five kids that were the actors in that play, and at the end of the play, they answer questions from the audience. And a lot of parents are there, very concerned for their kids. And what they're talking about is, how did you start? How did you get going? How did you end up with a needle in your arm? A kid that, you know, grew up, was a good athlete, was out of trouble, was doing school activities. Started with marijuana and alcohol. So that's why don't mistake what I'm saying to be a plug for alcohol. You know, alcohol is a completely different story. It brings other issues to the table. But when we talk about the insufficient amount of taxes and revenue that we're going to get from this, and you're talking about where we sit right now in the middle of the biggest opioid crisis we've ever had, any drug crisis right now, how much money are we going to be spending on the other end when you're talking about people that need beds, people that go to that next step and end up? And I know that Trooper Clardy, the trooper that was killed out in the Mass Pike,
sure.
He was killed by a kid, and the allegation against him that he's high marijuana, you know, so it can happen, and it happens in an instant, and we need to try to stop it.
Now, if this passes tomorrow, what are you and other DAs going to potentially be able to do at Beacon Hill to try to regulate this?
Well, that's the $64 question. We're going to have to grab our legislators, and they're going to have to get to work and try to get some things passed as quick as possible to try to make sure we can get some things changed. You know, whether or not we're going to be able to quantify the amount of marijuana in a body. And this is just Pandora's box,
sure.
Also, because, you know, lots of people say you drive a bus, you drive a school bus, you know, and all of a sudden now you're limited by, if you're a member of a union, perhaps you can't have drugs, you're going to flunk a drug test. But you're going to be able to say that I can legally smoke marijuana. I mean, right now, Massachusetts is going down the wrong path already. Our Supreme Judicial Court already made a determination that the odor of marijuana in and of itself is not sufficient to pull a car over.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
I mean, so if I'm drinking an open beer, I can pull you over. But if I smell an odor of marijuana, I can't.
Yeah.
You know, so we need to, unfortunately, lots of these things change. And they only change sometimes with terrible, terrible tragedies. And that's what we want to avoid.
Yeah. Speaking with the Plymouth County District Attorney, Tim Cruz, who's here in studio for a couple more moments. We just had somebody who called. And you might have already answered it, but I figure you might, if you want to kind of answer to it. Who wrote question four, and how did it end up on the ballot? Now, I know that's a process in itself.
Right.
Can you give kind of a Cliff's Notes version of
how
that happens?
I mean, basically, it's been written by the pro-marijuana people.
Right. And then they get out there and they get signatures.
And they get 60,000 some odd signatures.
On the national level, pro-marijuana people.
Right.
Yeah,
right. And like I said, they already had experimented with other states.
Sure.
You know, they were successful in some, not successful in others. So they find out what they're going to do. They put in what they want. They're also in the language in here. They've overcome a lot of the problems they're having in other places,
right.
Whether they be opting in versus opting out. You know, so therefore, this thing is pretty ironclad, unless there's going to be some sort of subsequent legislation. And I think that there would be if it was passed. I think Speaker DeLeo has already said that. That's the other thing, too. It's very bipartisan against this.
Yeah.
Governor Baker, Republican, against it. Maura Healey, AG, against it.
However,
121 reps.
However, you do have one leader. Do you not have Stan Rosenberg, who's saying, let's let this pass and we'll fix it?
That's what he says. We do have one leader. You're correct.
Okay.
All the other
ones... I just
want
to make sure we're being accurate here. We're not overlooking anything.
No. All the other ones, all the other leaders, the people that...
Are saying no, right.
They're all saying no, and all the DAs, all the sheriffs, Mass Medical Association, all the doctors...
It's overwhelming.
You know, everyone's against it. The problem is we don't have the resources to combat a lot of the push pieces you're getting in the mail or the television ads that are there.
Yeah.
So that's my concern, and that's why it's important for people to get out tomorrow and vote no.
Anything you want to say in closing, or do you think you just said it?
I don't think there's much left, to tell you the truth.
Well, you've been out there. How many forums and how many debates have you had?
I really don't know, but I've had a lot.
You've lost
count. And we've had, you know, we've had good-spirited debates. But, you know, at the end of the day, The people on the pro side are about making money, and like I said, that's okay. But don't make money on the back of our kids, and that's what this is.
I've given you the offer. If you want to hang out with the pre-election crowd, you're more than welcome to do that.
And, I can stay for a little bit.
Okay, you can stay for a little bit. Yep. We have plenty of McGuigan's Pub Pizza as Mark Lindy is here, Alex Bloom is here, and sliding in, and she's going to be our next segment for a couple of moments, is the managing news editor, Christine James. She'll be joining us in just a half a minute, but we're going to step aside when we come back. More Monday Night Talk. Don't go anywhere.
Is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.